The Baltimore Ravens appear to be getting bold when it comes to their offensive coordinator search. We talk about why that's actually a good thing, how close the Ravens are to returning to the Super Bowl, looking at a 2022 season review, and more coming up next on this Monday episode of Locked On Ravens.
You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into another episode of Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Ostreicher of RavensWire. We're here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you so much for tuning in with us today, being here and making us your first listen. We are free and available on all podcasting platforms. That includes over in video form on YouTube as well. And today's episode of Locked On Ravens is presented by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. Pick 2 to 5 players, and if they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 10 times your money on your entry. First time users can receive a 100% deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com. Promo code Locked On. And we return here. It is Monday after Championship Sunday, and we now have the Super Bowl matchup. It's the Reed Bowl, the Kelce Bowl. Is the Kansas City Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles will match up in the Super Bowl. Obviously, the 49ers and the Bengals, the two teams on the losing end of that. So there goes their seasons. But I think it'll be a good game between Philadelphia and Kansas City. But today here, Ravens-wise, because we're talking about the Ravens here today, obviously, as we do every day on Locked On Ravens, we'll be talking a bit more about the Ravens' offensive coordinator search. It's a pretty big deal. You know, the Ravens and their next offensive play caller, it has to be a good marriage. It cannot be something where one doesn't see eye to eye with the other 2 years in. They have to be sure this is good both for the short term and the long term of the organization. So we'll talk about how the Ravens are actually getting a bit bold, at least it appears that way, in their search with some of the reported interviews they have conducted and guys they've requested to interview, and why that's actually a good thing based off of recent history, based off our conversation on Thursday about internal versus external hires. Then we'll talk about just how close the Ravens actually are to returning to the Super Bowl. Obviously, the Super Bowl matchup being set and the Chiefs and the Eagles getting there. How close are the Ravens to getting there to the Super Bowl? Talk about that in the second segment. Then finally, we'll do a bit of a 2022 season review, kind of going through each of the games. I did this in like a 6-part series last year. I'm just going to make it one segment this year and just kind of try to focus on other things throughout the offseason. Speaking of which, we are still daily 5 days a week during the offseason. So be sure to like this video, subscribe to the channel if you do want daily Ravens content 5 days per week. Same thing in audio form, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. If you're driving, if you're on your way to work, cooking, cleaning, doing whatever, be sure to follow along in audio form as well. It's the same show, both audio and video. So any Ravens news, analysis, updates, we do have you covered. But let's talk about the Ravens offensive coordinator search and almost the boldness behind it a little bit based off of what we have seen, heard, what's been reported. So for the Ravens, it was reported it wasn't that long ago. It was about a week ago. Jeremy Fowler saying that the Ravens had a couple of big time names on their list for offensive coordinator in Eric Bieniemy, Frank Reich, and Byron Leftwich. Those are three pretty big names. Now, Reich ended up being hired as the head coach over at Carolina, so that's obviously not going to work out anymore. But then we get a couple of reports over the weekend about the Ravens not only requesting to interview Eric Bieniemy and them kind of having their eye on him, which is another report on that topic, but the Ravens actually being involved with Todd Monken, who is the current offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach over at Georgia, has a plethora of NFL experience dating back to Tampa Bay being their offensive coordinator for 3 years, and Cleveland, Yadiston is their offensive coordinator for 1 year. And it kind of goes with a trend, and I think a bold one from what the Ravens have kind of gone with over the past couple of seasons, of going with these guys that do have these pass offense or successful pass offense experiences, where we know the Ravens have been a very run heavy team. That is no secret. That is their bread and butter. And I'm not saying that all of a sudden they're going to go completely 180 in the opposite direction and just completely say, hey, we're throwing it 50 times a game. I don't think that's what's going to happen. But I do think that this is kind of them going outside the box a little bit. I mean, you know, Zach Robinson, Dave Canales, some of these other guys who young, bright, innovative minds who have history of either understanding the way that pass offenses work, having successful work with pass offenses and or quarterbacks. I mean, we saw the Rams in their Super Bowl year. Their offense was not good this year, but last year when they won the Super Bowl, they had the best passing offense in the NFL. You look at a team like Eric Bieniemy in Kansas City and how that with Patrick Mahomes and all those weapons, how that offense has been just an absolute juggernaut over the last five seasons and even longer, where you're talking about what Eric Bieniemy has done with that offense. And that's another hire where I think it will be very good for the Ravens to kind of dip their toes into that pool and see what it's like. And then you have, you know, Dave Canales, who is over there in Seattle, the reclamation project that is Geno Smith, obviously worked with Russell Wilson during his time in Seattle. Now, granted, his time in Seattle went much better than in Denver, and that's obviously a very given. But, you know, then you have the internal candidates such as a James Urban and, you know, the others of the world such as T. Martin. And even when you're talking about what the Ravens have done, you know, George Godsey wise, you know, the Ravens officially interviewing, according to Jess Rebick, Godsey and Urban for the position. But you have those guys who, yeah, they're going to leave no stone unturned, and you're probably going to get that. But then you also have, you know, the Broncos offensive coordinator, who I know Denver's offense was very good rushing-wise over the past couple of games. Well, the end couple of games for them. But those are the other hires where I think you're doing your due diligence if you're the Ravens, and, you know, maybe one of those works out. But the constant theme for them, which I think has been a bit bold based off of recent history for that offense, is going with these pass offensive experience coordinators, which I think is a good thing for them. And you might be saying, like, Kevin, this isn't bold. This isn't, you know, this is what they should be doing. And yes, I agree. 100% is what they should be doing, because we know the strength of this team is the rushing game. And I think you can take stuff from that Greg Roman offense. You can keep it there, but you need to bring in new. You need to not completely tear it down, but you have to bring in other pass concepts, other aspects of a passing game. And I think some of these big-time candidates, such as a Monken, such as a Bieniemy, and maybe some of the other, you know, younger, more innovative, well, not that the other guys aren't innovative, but, you know, other guys who have innovative ideas, such as a Zach Robinson, such as a Dave Canales, and some of these others as well, this is a good step, I think, but it can't just be a step. I think an external hire is the way that I would want this to go. I'm very intrigued by what Todd Monken can offer. I also think that Eric Bieniemy would be a pretty slam dunk hire. I know that there are multiple questions surrounding Bieniemy, including how much of the offense is actually his offense. But again, he's done a lot over there in Kansas City, and I think if he's interested in making that lateral move, it'd be a move that Baltimore should be interested in, and obviously based off the reports, are interested in right now. And in terms of, you know, what Monken has done over there at Georgia, obviously very big in the development of Stenson Bennett, who recently ran into some legal troubles, but that's a different story in terms of him being arrested for public intoxication. But then you have also his stints at the NFL level, where first he got his shot with Tampa as the offensive coordinator there. I'll just quickly read his offenses out. Was 18th in passing and 29th in rushing in 2016. The next year he ended up going 10th in passing, 27th in rushing in 2017. Then 2018 actually was the second best passing offense in the NFL, 7.7 net yards per attempt, but 31st in rushing. And Tampa hasn't had a good rush offense. I mean, it's been a while for them. You know, they don't value that side. Well, I shouldn't say that, but they have struggled in the run game for a very long time. But again, if you can take some of what Monken has done in terms of being a pass expert, I guess, and kind of rolling that into what the Ravens need, I think it's a good fit. Bieniemy, if you can kind of roll in some of the stuff that Kansas City has done, you know, Zach Robinson, what can he do with some of the stuff he's implemented over there in Los Angeles? And we saw Los Angeles at their best is very, very, very good. So they have options. And, you know, you might be saying it's not bold for them to go out there and kind of look at this. This is the right path. This is the expected path. But some of these big names, sometimes the Ravens, and we've seen this over the course of their history, and we talked about it on Thursday in our Thursday episode. So if you haven't watched that, I highly recommend you do so or listen to it. But they have pretty much valued the internal candidate route, where Marty Morningweg was an internal candidate. Greg Roman was an internal candidate. You look back, Jim Caldwell was an internal candidate. You know, the only guys you can look to, Gary Kubiak, who was not, a guy like Mark Trestman was not. But really, the internal hire train for the Ravens, they value their guys, which, again, I don't necessarily blame them for. But now is the time for them to be bold in this, make sure that it is the right fit. And I think the right fit is someone who you can bring in from outside of the organization, can bring in new ideas. And they're doing that right now. So while I know that for some teams, it's not really the bold thing to do because it, you know, it's what usually happens, the Ravens have had a history and a process, and it hasn't always been that way. It's not always an internal candidate. You know, I'm not saying every single hire has been one, but they do value that. So I think the fact that there is a reported interest in these guys and there are reported interviews with these guys, it is a good step, a somewhat bold step in the right direction. But again, it cannot be a step. I think that for them, they should act on one of these guys. I think for now, based off of the names and the reports, Bieniemy is probably the guy that I'm very intrigued by. I know Kellen Moore is another name people are looking at. I'm 50-50 on Kellen Moore. I'm not too familiar with the Dallas offense. I'm going to have to dive a little bit more into that before I can actually come on here and say something about it. But it's another name you're looking at. But Baltimore, again, leaving no stone unturned here. Now it's just a waiting game of seeing who the next guy is going to be. But coming up in our second segment, we'll be diving into just how close the Ravens are to making it back to the Super Bowl. So be sure to stay tuned for that. Still a lot to talk about here on Locked On Ravens. But first, this episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. And for me, another week, another win in fantasy basketball. I actually got Anthony Davis back, but some of my other stars, they're starting to get injured again. So I got to get my team healthy. But if you're looking for a different twist on fantasy, be sure to check out Prize Picks, and it's super easy to use. They have a ton of games and formats you can play also, and you can have a ton of current entries within those. And how it works is you pick 2 to 6 players, and if they will go score more or less in their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 25 times your money on any entry. There's no competing against other people. It's just you versus rejections available. Prize Picks offers rejections on any sport you watch, including the NFL, the NBA, the MLB. You have NHL, PGA, college football, college basketball, and more. Entries can be made in 6 seconds or less. Is that easy? They have safe and fast withdrawals, and they're currently operational in over 30 states and Canada. Download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up for daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive a 100% deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. If you deposit $100, Prize Picks will give you $100. If you deposit $50, Prize Picks will give you $50. Don't forget to the promo code Locked On at sign up for this deposit match of up to $100. We return here. It's our second segment of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Allstriker still here with you. Again, thank you so much for tuning in with us today, making us your first listen. Be sure to like this video, subscribe on YouTube, follow along in audio form, and make your second listen Locked On NFL. I host a Monday show over there if you have not heard. So you can see more me on the screen. You can listen to me in audio form. We talk with Locked On Eagles, Locked On Chiefs, and even Locked On Panthers about the biggest news throughout the NFL, which is obviously championship weekend, what happened there. So be sure to tune into that. But let's now talk about the Ravens and just how close they are to making it back to the Super Bowl, because while I was able to chat with Locked On Chiefs and Locked On Eagles, here on Locked On Ravens, the Ravens haven't made an AFC championship game since they won the Super Bowl back in that 2012-2013 season. And to me, for as good as the Ravens are, I'll say as consistent as the Ravens have been for the most part of being a really good regular season team, you know, building a very competitive roster and kind of being in the hunt and making the playoffs. The playoff success has been pretty underwhelming ever since that Super Bowl, where back when John Harbaugh took over, and obviously it was the Harbaugh and Flacco pairing that came in 2008, a lot of playoff success. And then they obviously, that peak of that was the Super Bowl win. But since then, we have seen bad losing seasons, which there have been few and far in between. John Harbaugh hasn't had many losing seasons, but it's been the successful-ish regular seasons, or very successful if you want to go to like 2019 and some of those other regular seasons. But it's been that set regular season success and then not very much success in the playoffs. So how close are the Ravens to actually making the Super Bowl? How close are they to getting back? And next week, I kind of want to dive into how close are they to actually winning the Super Bowl. And it's kind of in the same vein, but I'll dedicate more of a show to that instead of just maybe one segment here. But for Baltimore, I think they're in a good spot, but they're, again, it comes down to the offseason questions. I mean, we can't really answer a lot until we know who the offensive coordinator is, who the quarterback is going to be. And then some of these other pieces where, like, where's Calais Campbell going to be? Where's Justin Houston going to be? What are they going to do about some of the other players, such as a couple years down the line? You know, and that's, again, it's a couple years. So like Patrick Queen, that decision will have to be made. Where's Chuck Clark going to be? That's more of a this offseason thing. But the Ravens now have to figure it out. And I think a lot of how close are they depends on what happens with Lamar Jackson. And to me, Jackson is the guy that gives you the best shot. I mean, obviously, you're not going to find another Lamar Jackson to get you to where you want to go. Now, maybe you can get there with somebody else, but it's probably going to take you a while. And you, to me, I don't want to risk, if I already have a franchise quarterback, and I think Lamar Jackson is a franchise quarterback, whether it's for Baltimore or whether for somebody else. But if you have that guy and he's been in your system for 5 years, and obviously there's going to be a new one coming in, but he's been in your organization, and I know that it's been, I don't know what to call it. Is rocky the right word? I don't know. I'd say the last couple of months have been rocky in terms of just like all the reports and the rumors and how much is true, how much is not. Obviously, we don't really know at this point. But if you have that guy, and he has proven, you know, a former league MVP, second season he won that MVP going 14-2. Obviously, the last couple of years have not ended very well with the injuries he suffered. But again, this is football. It happens. At the same time, though, I think if you're Lamar, you want to get as much money as you can. And I understand that, right? People want to get paid. And I'm not going to sit here and bash somebody for wanting that. But if you're the Ravens, you have to look at it from a situation of how much money can we give Lamar Jackson and still have enough room to operate and build around Lamar Jackson? Because there are a lot of different things to go into it in terms of guaranteed money and the actual type of guaranteed money that it is, the years, is there an out, is there an option? There's a lot of things like that. But if you have the guy, I say pay the guy, because I think he has proven that he can take you places. It just hasn't happened yet necessarily. You know, obviously you want to make the AFC Championship game, you want to make the Super Bowl. But Lamar Jackson, in my opinion, gives you the best shot, if you're the Ravens, to win a Super Bowl, or just in this case, get back to it right now. And then you can build around him with hopefully a better offensive system, with hopefully better weapons around him. But this is what we kind of talked about with the whole, what John Harbaugh and Eric DaCosta had to say at their end of season press conference, where you look at the offense, the quarterback, obviously, if Lamar is there, I'm very confident. If not, I'm not so confident. But running back wise, they have J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards. Wide receiver wise, that's another big question for them this offseason. But you have, I think if you can get a number one guy, you have a super solid foundation with, let's just throw DeAndre Hopkins in there. I know obviously nothing's official, but let's just say you can get DeAndre Hopkins in that conversation. Hopkins, Bateman, Duvernay, maybe bring back DeMarcus Robinson. You have a solid core there, but that's a question. Tight end wise, Mark Andrews, Isaiah Likely, Charlie Kohler. I mean, it's a pretty solid tight end room. Offensive line wise, Ronnie Stanley looks to be back. Ben Powers is really, the left guard position is the only question mark, because what happens with Ben Powers? I predict he probably leaves in free agency, but you don't know until it happens. So we'll just kind of have to wait and see. Center, Tyra Linderbaum had a very promising rookie season. Kevin Zeitler is the beacon of consistency. You might have to start looking at future options there in a couple of years, but I think as long as Kevin Zeitler can play, I'm paying him and playing him from the Ravens. And then Morgan Moses, he is a solid right tackle option. So their offensive line is not a weakness. So the Ravens offense, to me, if you can figure out how to get Lamar Jackson back, and if you can figure out the wide receiver position, I think your offense in a new system, more innovative system, whether it is Bieniemy or Zach Robinson or Todd Monken or someone, I think you're decently set there. Then on defense, what happens with Calais Campbell? But you do have Justin Madubuike. Michael Pierce is coming back next year from that injury. Broderick Washington, Travis Jones looked very promising. You probably take a defensive lineman in the draft this year. Maybe if you, I say probably 75%, I would, but maybe you just sign a veteran there. Hopefully Campbell's able to come back for one more season, but you'd have to look to future options there, where I think you are set enough with the young guys, but maybe adding one more guy wouldn't hurt there, especially if Campbell doesn't come back. Outside linebacker wise, Tyus Bowser, Adafe Owe, David Ajabo, those are kind of like your young pieces there at outside linebacker. I think it'd be very good for the Ravens to add a veteran in that room, whether it is Justin Houston coming back or just somebody else. Even adding two veterans would be pretty solid there. Inside linebackers, you're set for the next couple of seasons with Roquan Smith and Patrick Queen. You know, you also have Malik Harrison still in that room. So I think you're fine there. Corner is the big question for me on defense, in terms of you have Marlon Humphrey. You can kind of just cast that aside as, yeah, he's your guy, he's your number one. But What happens with Marcus Peters? Do you add a corner in the first round? I personally would, but do you add a corner there? And then what about your depth pieces? Is Jalen Armour Davis enough? Is Brandon Stevens enough? Is Pepe Williams enough? Some of those questions. And safety wise, I think you're pretty good. You know, Marcus Williams and Kyle Hamilton, even if Chuck Clark gets traded or moves on, I still think you're pretty solid in that aspect. And then you can throw in Geno Stone if you want to in that conversation as well. And special teams, we don't even have to talk about special teams with Justin Tucker. Jordan Stout definitely, I think, has to have a better second season than his rookie year. I'd say he had a fine rookie season, not good, not bad, but he has to be a little better in his second season, obviously. And then Nick Moore was one of the best long snappers in the NFL. So you're good there. So I think the Ravens, they are closer than some people might think, but if this is such a big offseason, because if they don't do a good job this offseason, whether it is signing guys or drafting guys or just building this team, it could cost them and it could set them back. It could set them back a lot. So I think if decisions are made the right way, I think they're really close. If they're not made the right way, it could push them into a territory that is more on the mediocre side instead of maybe that good regular season, bad playoff exit. It could start being that 8-9 territory. So I hope the Baltimore makes the right decisions this offseason, but that's what makes it so exciting, right? You got to kind of stick with everything, see what they do. But this Ravens front office has, I'd say for the most part, proven that they make the good decisions, the right decisions. And so, you know, I trust them, but we'll have to see what happens. Coming up, though, we'll kind of recap the 2022 season, talking about each and every game from the year, talking about what happened, what went right, what did not go right, and more. So be sure to stay tuned. Still a lot to talk about here on the show. But first, this episode is brought to you by FanDuel. And this year, the only app you need at your Super Bowl party is FanDuel, America's number one sports book. And we're really excited about our new sports betting partner for Locked On, because they're the number one sports book in America, FanDuel. And if you're new to FanDuel, that's even better. They have so many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. Download FanDuel now so you can bet Super Bowl 57 with a no sweat first bet. You'll get up to $3,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. FanDuel lets you bet on everything from money line to point spreads to who will score a touchdown. And the money line, I'm sure, will be moving all week between the Chiefs and the Eagles. So I'm keeping my eyes glued to the FanDuel sports book to see where they move. And the FanDuel Sportsbook app is safe, secure, and super easy to use. Best of all, you can get paid your winnings instantly. And the app is really easy to use. You know, you get super user friendly, and it's something that makes it such a good experience. So join FanDuel today at FanDuel.com/lockedon to claim your no sweat first bet on Super Bowl 57. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon. Make every moment more. FanDuel official sportsbook partner of the NFL. We're back here, Locked On Ravens, Monday edition. I'm still Kevin Ostreicher. Thank you so much for being here with us today as we round out the show. Again, if you have not already, be sure to like the video and subscribe to the channel. It is free on YouTube and free if you want to follow along in audio form as well, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. And also be sure to check out Locked On NFL with me on the Monday episode and make that your second listen of the day. But let's now recap this Ravens 2022 season. Again, I used to do this in like a six-part series over the course of like 6 weeks. But I decided I'd just do it in one segment here today. So we'll zoom through. We'll talk about each game here, starting off in week one against the Jets. Starting off really well for the Ravens, 24-9 in a game that Lamar Jackson finished with 213 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. This was the current versus former as Joe Flacco took the helm for the Jets. And he threw 59 passes in this one, 309 yards, a score, an interception. The Ravens, if you remember, the Ravens could not run the ball in the first 2 weeks of the season. They were horrendous running the football over the first 2 weeks. This game, 21 carries, 63 yards, 3 yards per carry. Now, obviously, not having J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards contributed to that. This was the game where Rashad Bateman kind of had his opening week fireworks on that 55-yard very big touchdown from Lamar Jackson. He finished with 2 for 59 and a score. Devin Duvernay scored 2 touchdowns in this one. This was his kind of coming out party a little bit. Ravens defense was able to hold the Jets to just 9 points overall on that, you know, one touchdown by Joe Flacco to Tyler Conklin. But yeah, this was a good win. They were 1-0, and then they traveled back home to play their home opener against the Dolphins. And this was a game the Ravens had in the bag, 42-38. I mean, I actually played against Tua in fantasy this week. He exploded. 36 of 50, 469, 6 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, and it ruined a great offensive game from the Ravens. I mean, 21 to 29, 318 yards, three touchdowns. And actually, I misspoke. The Ravens running backs could not run the ball over the first couple of weeks. Lamar Jackson dominated in the second week on the ground. Nine carries, 119 yards, and a touchdown. Rashad Bateman cooked at the line, had a super long touchdown. I mean, Lamar's long was 79 yards. And then you had Rashad Bateman with his 75-yard touchdown as well. But the Ravens running backs, I mean, Mike Davis, 5 for 4. Kenyon Drake, 6 for 8. Justice Hill, 3 for 16. They just could not run the ball. But it was the fourth quarter, 28-3 fourth quarter, that doomed the Ravens. And this was a learning experience for Mike McDonald, for Kyle Hamilton. Then he moved to week 3, and we saw growth, I would say. Still some settling in for Mike McDonald to do, but Kyle Hamilton saved this one. Lamar Jackson playing like an MVP, 218 yards, 4 touchdowns, 1 interception through the air, another 107 and a score on the ground. I mean, first 3 weeks, I think he was the leading MVP candidate to me in the way that he played. But Devontae Parker cooked the Ravens. He had 5 receptions, 156 yards. I mean, if you want a yards per catch average on that, 31.2 yards per catch. And then you have Nelson Aguilar, who had 20.5 yards per catch. Kendrick Bourne, 14.5. Mark Andrews, 8 for 89 and 2 scores. Devin Duvernay, another touchdown for him. But the Ravens, 2-1. You know, they're 2-1, and then they have a game against the Bills. This was the biggest matchup of the year for them so far throughout the first 4 weeks, and they lose 23-20. Obviously, the controversial decision by John Harbaugh to go for it on that fourth down instead of kick the field goal. Obviously, they don't get it, and then the Bills go down the field and kick the field goal. Lamar didn't have a great game in this one. 144, 2 interceptions, along with 1 touchdown. The defense, you know, holding the Bills to 23 points. I mean, holding Josh Allen to 213 yards, it's pretty impressive. Then you go to the next week, and week 5 against the Bengals, the Ravens pick up that win, and they hold Joe Burrow to 217 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. Lamar, again, struggled a little bit in this one. Missed 2 wide-open touchdowns in a span of 3 plays on deep shots. 174, 1 touchdown, 1 interception there. But 19-17 was the game there. Justin Tucker playing hero for the Ravens as he was able to kick the game-winning field goal. And so you're feeling good. You know, win-loss, win. And the Ravens, the trend continues. They lose to the Giants in week 6. 24-20 in a game where this was on the offense, you know, a fourth quarter collapse, but the offense just gave the ball to the Giants deep into Baltimore territory. And that was that. This was the ill-advised throw by Lamar Jackson across his body to Patrick Ricard of all people, which I don't know if I'm making that throw, but you know, in that situation, you just got to throw the ball away. Week 7, the Ravens win 23-20 against the Browns. Lamar only throws 16 passes, 9 for 16, 120 yards. Gus Edwards, this was his first game back. He had 2 touchdowns. It was a really nice story for him to have that as well. But you know, the Ravens didn't really throw the ball in this one. They were still able to win though against Jacoby Brissett and that Browns team. Then the Ravens go on a little bit of a run. They beat the Buccaneers in week 8 by the final score of 27-22. That was a big win. The Saints in week 9, 27-13. That was huge as well. So you're sitting pretty for the Ravens. They're heading into the bye. You have a 3-game winning streak. You're 6-3. And I'd say you head into that bye feeling good. But then the stuff just started to begin to collapse, especially offensively. I mean, they beat the Panthers 13-3, but they beat the Panthers 13-3. That's the problem. You know, the offense should have been able to put more points in this one. It was 3-3 until the fourth quarter. The Ravens only were able to muster 3 points in the first 3 quarters. Lamar Jackson, 209 and an interception. It was not until 7:16 to go in the fourth quarter Lamar was able to sneak it in from 1 yard or rush it in there. But then you lose to the Jaguars 28-27 in a game you probably should have won. You then pick up 2 wins against the Broncos, 10-9, and the Steelers, 16-14. But Lamar leaves the Broncos game early. And obviously, he does not play again throughout the rest of the season. The Steelers game, it was a gritty win. But I think then you kind of took that momentum and you lost it all against Cleveland in a game that was just how you don't run the ball in the fourth quarter, the way that the Ravens were able to dominate the Browns in this one. And then just absolutely collapse in the fourth quarter here, where there were no points scored in the fourth quarter. But J.K. Dobbins didn't get a carry after the, what was it, like 50-some second mark in the third quarter. Gus Edwards didn't get a carry after the 14:54 mark or something. After Dobbins averaged 9.6 yards per carry, and Edwards averaged 7.9. And then, you know, it was frustrating things like that throughout the rest of the season. The Falcons game, 17-9, they win that, but you argue they probably should have won that by more. The Steelers game, 16-13, that was disappointing in multiple ways, where the The offense just could not get anything going for the most part, where you just wish things were different because the Ravens defense played really well. They didn't allow a touchdown until Najee Harris, that 10-yard pass from Kenny Pickett, which was a heck of a throw, heck of a catch by those two. But 56 seconds to go, that's the first touchdown a defense allows. You probably should win the game, especially for the Ravens, where, you know, you should be able to dominate a little more than that. And then the Bengals game, the Ravens rest some of their guys there, 27-16. Then you head to the playoffs. You got to go back to Cincinnati. And the Ravens put up a fight. They put up a heck of a fight, but they lose 24-17. Obviously, the big plays there, the quarterback sneak, where I didn't think it was the right call to quarterback sneak there. Huntley decides to go high instead of go low. The ball's punched out. That's a touchdown. And then just other things throughout the course of the game where you're just thinking that the time management at the end there was just multiple things stacked on top of each other. The red zone offense was terrible all year. That came back to haunt him. So I'm sorry to bring up some like bad memories throughout that season, but there were some good things to take away. But it just felt like such a disappointing year based off of the expectations that were set for the team overall. So 10-7, wild card exit. We will hope for better things next year for the Ravens. But that's all I have for you here today on Locked On Ravens. Thank you so much for tuning in today. We're going to get back here tomorrow. It's more Ravens content from us, so be sure to stay tuned for that, and I'll see you right back here tomorrow.